I thank God for being here again at Monarch. What a privilege to be with the people of God. Thank God the day the Lord led me among the saints when I first came to this country. Didn't know anybody here in the country, but I had prayed before I left, said, Lord, lead me to a people who can be a blessing to my soul. That's what the Lord did. And I just thank God for all the experience. I've over the years, the things that I've learned among the saints, and I'm still learning. Thank the Lord. I'd like to share with you a little bit. I'm going to tell a story about something I learned out of the Bible, what I see out of the Bible, kind of in an allegory. God the Father had an eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Something the devil didn't hardly know nothing about. Angels didn't know it. The prophets prophesied it, but they weren't too sure what was going on. Anyway, God brought his son into the world, Jesus. That was one of the greatest events to ever take place. It still boggles my mind on this why. How could the great God of creation took upon him the form of weakened, sinful man to come down to earth to suffer such shame and disgrace to save worthless man? It still boggles my mind. One song says, such love cannot be fathomed. It's like the boundless sea. Anyway, when the Lord brought his son into the world, he kind of kept him obscure and behind the scenes. Very little is written about his childhood. Very little. So it seemed that the enemy was kept in the dark. But in my mind's eye, I think, if I could put it this way, I think the devil is a very good Bible student. That's just me saying this now. But I think he searched the scriptures. I think he watched different things. And I think he learned something also from Job. Back to Job in a little bit. But anyway, when Jesus came on the scene and went down there to be baptized of John, I believe the enemy was there watching and looking to see what's going on. Then he watched him. But before we get there, when the announcement was made concerning his birth, the devil stood up Herod to try to destroy him. And maybe he thought he did. I didn't hear nothing else. And when the Lord came on the scene, the Father spoke from heaven, the Holy Ghost came down like a dove, descended upon him and made the declaration. And John, his cousin, didn't even know him. John said, he who sent me told me, the one you see, the Spirit of God lighting upon, that's the one. That's how John knew him. Anyway, after that event, it says, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I think the devil was set up for a big failure. He did not know who he was dealing with. Really. Anyway, he gave it his best shot. But when he saw the Lord in there fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he thought, I got him now. But Job said that there is a path which no fowl knoweth. The vulture's eye has not seen it. Remember, Job was the man that had some run-ins with the devil, and the devil went away disappointed. The devil gave it his best shot. And I think he was so, for my words, body slammed, that the very foundation of hell quivered. Yeah. Three temptations. The Lord told him, get behind me, Satan. When the Lord said that, he had to get behind him. Since then, everywhere Jesus went, demons trembled. Yeah. he realized he was in over his head. One incident. When he went down to the land of the Gadarenes, this man was there, filled with legions of demons. So fierce, no man could pass that way. Chains couldn't contain him. No man could bind him. Fierce. But when Jesus got off the boat, passed on the scene, and something in the man recognized him, fear, quake, trembling. What manner of man is this? See, God done shifted gears now. God is doing something new, something glorious. John said it this way, the axe is now laid at the root of the trees, John said. Jesus came to do a thorough work. Amen. So the Lord said, in Matthew 24, let me turn there. Thank God, some while ago, for his great redemption plan. Amen. Amen. Yes. 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So God has a people who will be, no matter what happens, unshakable, unmovable, cannot be deceived. Such a thorough work would Jesus do. Amen. The Bible says he is able to save them to the uttermost. Praise God. What a glorious Savior. Yes. Amen. Let's turn now to Ezekiel 43. Chapter 43. Sometime when I read, I stutter. I stutter a whole lot. So bear with me if I start stuttering. 43 and verse 7. Verse 1. Afterward he brought me to the gate, in the gate that looketh toward the east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the voice of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. So that we know who's speaking. Verse 7 now, he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel defile no more. Ezekiel 43 and verse 7. Thank you, brother. Remember Israel. Backslidings, abominations, failures, rebellion. But the Lord said, there will come a time when the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile. Neither they, nor their kings, by the whoredoms, nor by the carcasses of the kings in their high places, in the setting of their threshold by my threshold, and their post by my post. In other words, they won't be how can we say? But Israel, though they received the law of Moses, seemed like the more or less they did their own thing. But God said, no more. So he said, Well, we're going to condense the reading a little bit. Verse 10. Thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. Show the house to the house of Israel. This is Ezekiel. Isaiah said, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. Now it says, son of man here, show the house to the house. Amen. That they may be ashamed of their iniquities and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, the fashion thereof, the goings out thereof, and the coming in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, all the forms thereof, and the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit runabout shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Draw a little diagram here on board, please, if I may. Law of the house is most holy. So God is shifting gears now. And if we pick up now in St. Luke, chapter 1, remarkable story. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son into the world. And among the remarkable happening that took place, Zechariah. Remember when there he was struck dumb because he did not believe the angel? When the child was born and received back his speech, the first thing he said, let's read that. Chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as is spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began. The prophets had a lot to say about this thing. That we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us. I learned something about the word grant. Being here in the States and having children coming out of school and going to college, learn what the word grant really means. Yeah. That he would grant unto us. That if you qualify yourself in a certain place, you can receive grant from the government to go to school. That he would grant unto us. That we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Remember that. This is the purpose of God, that we should serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This is very important, that we understand this, and what the Lord is doing in the day of grace. Thank the Lord. Amen. So if we shift gears now a little bit, back to the elect. There were two compartments in the temple, and that typifies something. We're taught that there are two works of grace. And we're taught that this is the first work, but there is also a second work of grace. This is not the perfect will of God. This is the will of God. Even our sanctification, that we should abstain from fornication. And every one of us should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. This is not a finished work. I also learned that there are many songs that are written, and they're written from this experience. Right here. There are many songs. And but I thank God for a spiritual song. Yes. Thank God. You know, when I came to this country, I fell in love with this book. I'm telling you the truth. I fell in love with it. There are so many things that God helped me to understand from the scripture. Yes. This book right here. Spiritual songs, some deep things. Hard to be understood. But there are people who had the life and the experience, and they wrote from those experiences. And throw life for me upon the scriptures. So, like I said, thank God. Where I came from, we have, maybe some of you might be familiar with the whole hymn of the Church of God. That's what we had. I began to see some light on the church, but when I began to sing these songs, I said, well, thank God. Thank God for His goodness and for His mercy. Now, the scripture says, if it were possible that they would deceive the very elect. The Bible says, make your calling and your election sure. So when we get saved, we got some work to do. We're going to read some more scriptures concerning election. Peter. I think it's 1 Peter. Which normally I have someone read for me because like I said, sometimes I stutter and struggle to read. Anyway, I'm going to try. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. Yes. So being elect has to do with being sanctified. Yes. Your experience is not complete without sanctification. God never intended for us to stay in a justified state. Amen. Many people go astray right there. You won't stay, if I can say it this way, true to God, real long just being justified. That is not the will of God. Okay. One of the books in the Bible that I really... I'm impressed by the books of Thessalonians. Paul went down there for a short while. Maybe he had in mind to stay there and have the disciples establish. It didn't happen. It might seem a disappointment, but I see the hand of God all over it. Those brethren down there received the word of God. Paul was there for a short time, but Paul, the Bible, he says, was a wise master builder. He knew what he was doing. When he went there, he knew what to teach, you know how to work, how to establish them, to give him a lot of information in a very short while. So they had enough information to stay sane. But Paul had a deep concern about these disciples, so he sent Timothy over there to see how they were doing, with a letter instructing them to go on to sanctification. By the time they got the second letter, they were sanctified. This is in our second chapter. 2 and verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, because God has from the beginning told you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Yes. Amen. Yes. Now let's go back to the devil a little bit. So Jesus, the devil in his ignorance, tried to destroy him. Not knowing what would be coming afterwards. But Jesus died and rose again, called us up and instructed them, tarry in Jerusalem. And the Bible says they continued with one accord in prayer and supplications. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord, in one place. That to me is a powerful statement. Amen. They were all on one accord in one place. Yes. They sought the Lord diligently. They prayed, they prayed, they prayed. And it came to a place where the sacrifice was so complete, so pleasing to God. Suddenly, praise the Lord, came from heaven, the son of a rushing, mighty wind, filled the whole house they were sitting in. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And something dramatic happened. Souls start getting saved by the thousands. The devil was caught off guard one more time. He didn't know what was going on. He started gapping with his mouth. Yes. Amen. Amen. For there appeared a great wonder in heaven, the Bible says, a woman clothed in the sun. Yes. Praise God. The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Amen.
She came into being. So the devil rose up persecution. Got him a chief henchman, so he thought, by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Praise God. I think about Saul many times. And in my mind, I believe if Saul was an Old Testament character, he would stand heads and shoulders above many. Because this man had a great zeal for the law of Moses. And he didn't want nothing to even come to him to even challenge it. So he decided I'm going to stamp this thing on him when he was doing a thorough job too. The disciples were terrified, Saul of Tarsus. But I found in the scripture that there are a few men that God puts upon their shoulders grave responsibility. And he had his eye on Saul all the time. He was watching him. Saul was so, I don't know how to describe it, you didn't want to hear nothing. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He was not convinced. He had him stoned to death. Receiving authority from the chief priest to go to Damascus to bind all that he found there, and he was on his way. God took the devil's best henchman and just turned him around.
Right.
I marvel many times at the Apostle Paul. Marvel. This is what the Lord told him. I think it's Acts 24. I can find the scripture real quick. Okay. Acts 26 and verse 14. We'll start there. Well, verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, shining above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that were journeying with me. And when we were all fall to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What a terrifying experience.
Yes,
light from heaven, a voice. I mean, maybe Paul read with some kind of thing like that happened in the Old Testament, back in the old time, but now it was happening to him.
Right.
And he was on the wrong side of the message.
Yes.
Saul, Saul, why? That thing, I think that thing went through his whole being.
Yes.
It was like an awful shock, an awakening. Why persecutest? Now he was confused. Who art thou, Lord? What a rude awakening answer. I am Jesus. Wait a second now. That's the name I'm trying to stamp out. And Lord, you are Jesus. But what gracious word the Lord spoke.
Yes.
Paul said, what was it over there in Timothy? That the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Lord said, but rise. Maybe we're waiting for a thunderbolt. But Lord said, stand, rise up. Stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, praise the Lord, and a witness. Well, those things thou hast seen, those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, one, and two, inheritance among all them who are sanctified, which are sanctified by faith, which is in me. So there is two things the Lord told Paul. Receive forgiveness, one, and inheritance among those who are sanctified. Amen. And Paul said, I was not disobedient to my heavenly vision. There was a mystery. It was kept secret before, since big hid away in God since the beginning of the world. And Paul said, but it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is a great salvation. This is a wonderful, profound. Well, let's read it. I think about Bible can say it formal than I can. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 1. Now another thing I marvel at. Half the book in the New Testament, you open them, the first word you see is Paul. God chose to detail the apostle's life. To make him an example to all them that should after him believe. Yes. What a blessing it is. Yes. What a blessing. Yes. But it seems to me that God needed a special kind of man, because it was a great transition from the law to grace. There were many questions, many issues, many difficulties. But it was no accident that Paul was raised in a Gentile city. It seemed to me anyway. Also Barnabas. And God chose those two men. And God sent him out as the apostle to the Gentiles. Here's writing now. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What a blessed revelation that the Lord gave to the apostle. We won't read all, but we went down to a detail how God did this. But it says in verse 8 that he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Yes. There's some things to get a hold of in salvation. Amen. We're called to be established, strengthened, settled. Amen. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, ye might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Again, it's going to say it's through sanctification. According to him who worketh all things after the purpose of his own will. Now, verse 13 says, now, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, after that ye believed, underline that word, please, believe. I always wondered what that word means. I know it may believe, but something happened behind this word. Says, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This word believe is taking a lot of things. It means you got saved, you were following God faithfully, you were obeying every jot and tittle best as you know, and God leading to the experience. That's what believe means. You applied your heart to the word of God. It says over there in Hebrews, in chapter 4, says, we which have believed do enter into rest. They enter not in because of unbelief. It means the word received was not mixed with faith. They did not obey the word. But when we diligently apply our hearts to the word, inevitably we will be sanctified.
Yes, right.
Amen. So after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the guarantee of our inheritance. There is an inheritance to get a hold of. It's not realized in the justified state.
Right.
To go on to perfection. Amen. Right. So thank God.
Amen.
Okay. Now in the book of Colossians now, Paul detailed this thing for us. Thank God for Jesus. You know, it still boggles my mind who Jesus is. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in flesh. I wonder what it was like to see Jesus. There are people who see him and didn't see him. There are people who saw him and they saw him. I think about many times Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus real bad. But he had a problem. There was crowds thronging him, and he was little of stature. He figured a way to solve his problem. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. He wanted to get a good look, and he got a good look. He saw more than most people saw. He did. Because by the time the Lord get to him, he had a changed heart. He saw something that day. Yes. Lord stopped right under the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come forward. Today I must abide in that house. What did he call him? He said, Lord, the half of my... Well, that's a changed heart. This man was like an outcast, a traitor who was hated by his nation. And look, Lord, the half of my... Something happened to Zacchaeus, something profound. The Lord said, this day is salvation. Come to this house. There are people who saw him. There are people who didn't see him. The woman with the issue of blood. She'd been hearing about this man. She'd been hearing some good things. And different ones be saying it. A lot of people have been talking. Yes, he did this, he did that, he did that. You think about her condition. Then maybe she saw someone who she knew who got healed. What happened to you? The prophet from Nazareth. And lo and behold, one day he was passing her way, but she had a problem. She was maybe anemic, and there's a crowd surrounding him, but she mustered all of her strength, if I would touch the hem of his garment. And you know what? She was right. She touched the hem of his garment, and she was made perfectly whole. What? The Lord asked a question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What a question. I remember when Peter had an experience like this. Went fishing all night and caught nothing. And he was a good fisherman. I believe the Lord hid the fish. Yeah, for a purpose. And Peter fished and tried all his tricks all night and nothing worked. He maybe was in a bad mood. Came back, mending the nets and so forth. Then there you go again, that prophet from Nazareth. And came in such a sweet attitude and asked him so politely, would you mind let me step on the boat, please, and I'll just go and pitch the people. Yeah. And he spoke. Never man speak like this. Stop. And turn to Peter and say, all right, now. Under the deep now and let the net for the draw. Only reason I'm going because of you. When he went out there and he let down the net. Rather, the net coming up, the ship start going down. And something awakened in Peter. He was shocked. Who is this? He fell on his knees Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. He realized he was dealing with more than man right here. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. So when the Lord asked the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Convinced, they saw it. No doubt, they're convinced. What a blessing. There are so many things about Jesus, I'm still marveling day by day that I think about it. Thomas said, or one of them said, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Wait a second, Thomas. How long have you been, yet you have not known me, Thomas? When you have seen me, if you truly see me, you have seen the Father. The Bible says he's the express image of the invisible God, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. What a glorious Savior. When all this that God did and went through for mankind, the Bible says, what is man? They're also mindful of him. But God determined that he will have a saved people. Yes. And he came with the works. He came with the experience that no matter what the devil do, there's going to be some saved people in heaven. He's going to have a glorious church. Amen. So, Paul, thank God for the apostle. This man was so full of the love of God. This morning we heard about the cause. Paul says, for this cause also I suffer these things. Also, but he wrote from prison to the Colossians. Okay. Paul, it seemed like I've not been to a Colossae. But Paul labored, I think, for a number of years in Ephesus. And the Bible said that from Ephesus went forth the gospel to all Asia. Maybe people came there, got saved, maybe like Epaphras did, went back to his own city and preached the gospel and soul got saved. And Paul heard about it. And Paul carried a burden for the whole church. Concerned. Wrote letters here, never been there, wrote letters there. He heard this problem there, he wrote to solve those problems. So Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, says, for this cause, therefore, since the day we heard about them being saved, do not cease to pray for you. This man prayed a whole lot, Paul did. A whole lot of praying. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Paul knew what it takes. Paul had a clear understanding, knowledge, what it takes to establish saints, what they need. So Paul said, we pray that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There are some things to get a hold of in this walk with God. Amen. Yes. So he said, that's my desire for you. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It's going to take a whole lot of grace.
That's right.
But the Bible says that they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yes. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strength with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now I took note that when Paul wrote these things, this was Paul's experience. When Paul was beaten in prison, they prayed and sang praises. Paul says he rejoiced in his sufferings.
Yes.
He did.
Yeah.
He desired to fill up that which was behind of the afflictions of Christ in his body for the church's sake, Paul says.
Yes.
That man was full of encouragement.
Yes. Yes.
Paul walked so holy before God that there were people who got saved under his ministry that became pillars. Think about Titus, I think it was, Timothy, Tychicus. Here we have Epaphras. When they look at his experience, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So the thing which you have learned and heard and received and seen in me, Paul says, do those things. God didn't make any mistake when he chose Paul. He told Ananias, go thy way, for the chosen vessel unto me. Yes. Thank the Lord. So we appreciate so much, you know, the scriptures. These epistles, a blessing to my soul. Amen. Now, let's shift gears a little bit now. After we spoke about, we're going to hold off on our other reading. We'll just drop down now to a verse 21. And you that what that was sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now as he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. He has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death for this purpose. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So Christ came to do a thorough work. Christ says, purify each heart with refining fire. Let perfect love in us abound. What goes? With all dross, remove and each vain desire, O Father, send the power down. So, Paul knew what the will of God was. Now he said something further. There's a condition here. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, this is very important. And I've looked over experiences, mine also, and seen that the devil sell a lot of people in this Christian walkway pull a little bit of wool over people's eyes. That I got saved, but I'm not going to get real serious yet. When I get older, I begin to get more. But from the get-go, we have to run for our lives. May the Lord help us. Many people, they fool around and they are lost today. And something grieved my soul so very much likewise. The moving and shifting that I've seen over the past few years, it troubled me. Yeah. When I read the scriptures, there is a proper walk with God. We must continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which was preached unto us. May the Lord help us. Now, we spoke about, well, here's it. Let me drop down now. Well, let me keep on reading, same place where I am. I think I got to read the whole thing. Okay. Which you have heard, which is preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings. When Paul talked about suffering, this was, it was not talking about a headache or a toothache. Talking about beatings, imprisonment, stonings, shipwreck, trouble everywhere, people lying in wait everywhere. But Paul says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and the fill-up which is behind the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. God gave Paul a dispensation of the gospel. Give to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here's now. Even the mystery which was hid from ages, from generations, but now made manifest to his saints. So there's something to get a hold of. We are called to be saints, the Bible says. That's all, but think about it many times, that word saint. You might say I'm a Christian, people, well, oh well. But if you say you are a saint, I'm going to look at you. You are what? This word has some weight. Amen. Yeah. So even the mystery which has been hid from ages, hid away and from generations, but now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known to his saints what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Something to get a hold of. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, listen to Paul now, warning every man and teaching every man in all, it takes some wisdom. It takes a lot of wisdom to get souls converted and nurtured to perfection. A lot of wisdom is involved. Whom we preach, warning every man. There are some warnings in the scriptures. Go some of them in a little while. Teaching them and all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wherein to I labor, striving. Look at those words. Labor, strive according to his work which worketh within me mightily. Like we said, Paul, for all we know about the scriptures, I've never been to a Colossae. Never. So this next chapter now, was really, it said, Paul said, now, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul was a man, I think Paul wrestled in prayer for the saints everywhere. Yes. Battling and looking to God. This man was full of faith. He trusted God for some great things. So Paul says, I had great conflict. This is what the conflict was about. Verse 2 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Yeah. When we come to an understanding of what this thing is all about, it's a real blessing to our soul. Yeah. There is a place in God. You're not, if today I'm discouraged, no. If you begin to understand now, certain things doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, ain't no good and bad. Every day is a good day. Yeah. Thank the Lord. So, to all the riches. Thought this morning we'll hear about some riches. Here's some riches right there. All the riches of the full assurance of understanding and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Jesus says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We must follow on to know the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank God. All right. Now, where do we go from here now? So we see Paul right here. His real burden was that the saints be established. Paul carried that burden. I don't know... Who wrote the book of Hebrews? It is said Paul wrote it. And as you read it, it sounds like Paul wrote the book. The reasonings and the scriptural enlightenment, it seemed like Paul wrote the book. So assuming you wrote it. Chapter 1. Here we see the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and divers manners in time past spake to the fathers by the prophets. It was glorious. Some of those prophets are a real blessing, aren't they? But now something far more glorious as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. Who is the Son? Let's back up a little bit, back to Colossians. The things in the scripture concerning Jesus Christ are so glorious. 1 verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, which are in heaven, which are on earth, that are visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Who is Jesus? And he is the head of the body. And if he's so glorious, and he's the head of the church, this must be a glorious church. Yeah. Who is the beginning? The firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The Bible says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The glory, now by him now God is speaking. So establish, you know, who we're speaking about. So God speaks to us now in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 now says, but unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with all of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, God, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, the heaven of the work of thy hands, they shall all perish. This is talking about Jesus. But thou remainest. They shall all wax old as the dust of garment, and as a vessel thou shall fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Say that to say this now. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Because of who's speaking now. We ought to give the more earnest heed. The thing which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The reason why people backslide, are discouraged, shift, change, move, mental, they fail to give the more earnest heed. So may the Lord help us. We have to hide away the word of God in our heart that we sin not against him. Jesus says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. After you get saved, you have to learn the truth. The Bible says you would have all meant to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is something to get a hold of in this walk of salvation. We ought to give the more earnest heed. The things which we have heard, lest we let them slip. Yes, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast.
Right.
When the angel spoke, that's what come to pass.
Yes.
And that was angel, but we're dealing now with the glorious Son of God. Jesus says, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He's speaking to us today. So now, if their word were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape now if we neglect so great salvation? Again, the Lord says, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. The very elect are those who give the more earnest heed. Those who follow the Lord whithersoever he goeth. The Bible says that they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine in the early morning church. So young people, every one of us, when you get saved, run for your life. Dig down deep in God.
Amen.
Be wise. Amen.
Yes.
So we come now to Hebrews chapter 3 before we close. Wherefore, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider him. We talk about Moses, how Moses was faithful in all his house, but Christ as a son over his own house. But listen now. Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence, rejoicing the hope, firm unto the end? So may the Lord help us. When I begin to learn, I said, Lord, help us. That answers in my mind a lot of questions. Many times why people seem to, for many years, and then they just do something else. Yeah. Hold fast to the end. And verse 14 says now, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. I want to relate now a certain danger. It's a dangerous sin. If I get saved for many years, this is all I would attain right here. That's very dangerous. The Bible says they enter not in because of unbelief.
Right.
Yeah. But let's read it. Verse 7, Hebrews 3 and 7 says, wherefore, there's a comma, wherefore comma. If you drop down to verse 12, 11, the comma ends. Wherefore, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. Now let's back up a little bit now, back to verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. What happens when we harden our hearts? It tells us, as in the provocation, Jesus came to do a thorough work. We can hinder that work in our own souls. If we harden our hearts, we can provoke and grieve the Spirit of God. It happened back then. It says, the day of temptation, we can tempt God in the wilderness. When the fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. It can happen to us today. It happened to people today. Yeah. Because chapter 4 says, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest in the future seem to come short of it. Many times, many of our trouble is, I did not go on to perfection. Yeah, that's a problem. We should fear. God gave the promise that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. His yoke is his word, his will. Diligently obey the word of God. As we heard last night about precedence, and this morning, what is the cause? Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. So let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us. Back then God yanked the promise. And limited it now a certain day, saying now, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's fear now. The promise being left us for entering into the rest, and if we should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Here it goes again. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. When we apply our heart to the word, we're mingling the word with faith. And it will have its results in our life. I think it was James who said, don't be a forgetful hearer. It was James or John. But a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Yeah. So let's take heed to the word of God when we hear. honored our heart. Okay. Verse 3. For we which have believed now do enter into rest. But this word believe means a whole lot. The Bible says about Timothy's mother. It says she was a Jewess and she believed. Then Paul says now the same faith I saw in Timothy. He says dwell first in your grandmother and in your mother. And Timothy was an example of the believers. So this believe means I really apply my heart to the word of God, to obey, to live for the Lord. May the Lord help us. And if we so do, if we go on to perfection, the Lord says, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, the Lord says. If it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. And there are many people who are moving and shifting today.
Yes.
May the Lord help us to get an experience that's unshakable.
Amen.
Pray for me, please.